Hey, welcome everybody to the Four Outdoorsmen. But I'll tell you what, according to Brandon's clock, our show is over right now. It says 7:01. So thanks everybody for listening tonight. Jesus, come on, Brandon.
I gotta get on board here.
My bad. I forgot all about daylight savings time.
Oh, Brandon, but it's a holiday weekend, Mark.
It is.
What is the holiday?
It was Minnesota Deer Opener, so we're going to do kind of a special show today. We're going to actually take call-ins. Now, we don't usually do that because it's kind of confusing, and we like things set how everything is, but we're going to take some call-ins to get some deer stories. We have a lot of great deer stories ourselves.
Yeah, you guys were hunting Ely. Your dad's in studio. I was hunting with Dad and my daughter Sophia in Bacchus. I mean...
Hey, where was Cole? How come he didn't come with you guys?
You know what? Cole kind of stayed home. He had a couple other things to do, and so it was just Sophie and Dad. It was kind of cool, kind of a tradition. We've been hunting together. I've been hunting that piece of property for 34 years. Now, I'm 40 years old. Do the math. 6 years old. Yes. I have been
so
in the
So you broke
stand.
The law for 4 years or
well,
5 years.
Well, I didn't get to shoot. I got my addiction to coffee doing that. But I have some super big news. So I know it's a deer hunting special, guys. So I want to jump into it because I'm really excited. First off, big shout out to the Country Inn in Walker. If you're looking for a place to stay in Walker, Leech Lake area, the Country Inn in Walker has you settled in. That's where my dad and Sophia and I stayed. We've stayed there in the past. They have coffee ready for you in the morning, free breakfast that starts at 4 a.m., right? Usually have some type of meal for you when you come in, Strew, and a snack bag. Can you beat that?
You can't beat that, but I'll tell you what, this is the truth. I stayed there a couple of years ago when my softball team played in a tournament in Walker, and Diana's with us, and on the way up there someplace, I forget where she was, but she got a hole in one playing around a golf on the way up there, but we stayed at that particular hotel 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, so big shout out to the Country Inn in Walker. So Sophia, who's 11, going on 21, just got in the age where we're going to go do the firearm safety certificate. Now, she could hunt with me with an apprentice tag, but she wanted to wait one more year. And she's been
What's
hunting
an
with
apprentice
me.
Tag? Can you
that
explain
means that?
That
she is with me in the blind.
Okay.
And at 10 years old in the state of Minnesota, she can shoot a deer as long as I'm physically able to touch her.
And she can get fired by Donald Trump. All right,
but
keep on
does
going.
Does she have to take the hunter safety?
No, she does not. But when you're 12 and want to hunt individually, then you need a firearm safety certificate. But Sophia loves to hunt, loves to fish, and really just felt a little more comfortable doing the firearm safety certificate. So we're going to be doing that this year. So she was in the blind with me. I think this is her fourth year. And at about 7:52, she sees a brown spot coming, and she goes, Dad, it's a deer. And, of course, her heart is pounding, and Sophie has really sensitive ears, and she goes, what should we do? I go, wait. The dang doe, guys, we're hunting in a hunter's choice area, zone 246, is walking right towards us. And the gun is behind the buddy heater. So, of course, there's going to be a cling clang there. So I don't know what to do.
You have a buddy heater in your stand?
You betcha.
Wow.
I'm a softie.
Deluxe.
I know.
What channel were you watching on television? My God, that's not deer. You're sitting in a box with a heater with a good-looking girl.
That's right. And then all of a sudden, that deer came up to us and winded us about a foot away, took off down the trail. And she goes, Dad, don't let it go. I made one of those miracle shots as the deer's running away, hit it in the neck, and Sophie and I harvested our first deer together.
We're going to finish that up. That's great. We got a lot more stories from Boomer and Mark and myself, Strewman from the Four Outdoorsmen. Brandon, we got somebody on the line?
We do. We got a turkey report coming in.
Oh,
a turkey report.
From a turkey named Thane.
You're on with the Four Outdoorsmen. Go ahead.
Thane Jensen, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country, my friend.
Hold up. I got to see what's going on here.
Uh-oh. So why Brandon's working on that?
There, try him now.
Hey, Thane, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go. See, this is why we don't typically do this, but we got to
figure it out. Well, we roll out the red carpet when we have Thane Jensen on board. And for everyone that's calling in, Thane will give out his cell phone number. He is the customer service manager for Clam, so he'll take care of everything related to ice fishing, won't you, buddy?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
So Thane was hunting. He's been up at deer camp with me for, Thane, how many years now? Is it seven?
Seven or eight anyway.
And so we had a pretty successful year. But Thane, you had something really interesting happen to you because we're up in Bacchus, Minnesota. We're looking in big buck country. Nothing is there except a barn,
woods, and a swamp. You said big buck country. How many bucks did you shoot yesterday?
Well, how many deer did you shoot?
I didn't say I was in big. Go ahead, Thane.
There's big bucks that have been taken there.
There
buddy.
You go.
All right,
there you go.
Tell us your deer hunting story from deer camp this year.
Yeah, it was really, really unique in the fact that, you know, for the last couple of years, we had heard reports that, you know, there have been some wild turkey sightings in and around the area, you know, up there, Walker, Backus, Leech Lake area. And I was sitting in the stand yesterday evening, and I thought I had, like, every deer in Minnesota coming through the woods. And it ended up being about 25 turkeys just milling about. And they That's decided funny. To roost, like, around my spike. Everywhere but in the stand with me. So I had them behind me, in front of me, to the left. And they were there once again this morning just making a racket for days. I have no idea if it affected the deer hunting, but, yeah, it was interesting.
Well, we all know you as the turkey whisperer, Thane, so maybe it's just in your blood. They smelled you. They're ready for you next. I think we might have to make a trip. Next spring.
Well, I'm telling you, it was all I could do not to call back to them. I'm like, oh, this is killing me. I've got them yelping. I've got them purring. I've got them kikiing. I mean, they're going nuts. And I'm like, it was actually quite torturous.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Hey, Thane, Strewman here. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman.
Absolutely.
This is a serious question. Are turkeys and deer compatible, or are they adversaries? Would one affect the other negatively or positively either way?
You know, I had plenty of time to think about that today as all the racket was going on. And I've often said, you know, jokingly that if turkey sight and deer smell, if they were to work together, you'd never kill either one of them. But, you know, they do cohabitate. I mean, they frequent the same type of, you know, timber and crop fields and whatnot for food sources. But the only thing that kind of got me thinking that maybe having them around me today was a hindrance was the fact that it was just so, they're so loud.
Yeah.
I mean, as they're in there scratching and walking through the timber, and like I said, there were several birds. It was just very, very loud. And I would think that for a deer, you know, hearing is a big sense for them, especially if, you know, they realized yesterday morning that, hey, it's hunting season. And I got to believe that their senses are heightened, and that noise may have been a little bit of a hindrance.
Now, Thane, question for you, because when we talked this morning before making the drive home, you did see a couple small bucks and I think a couple of does. Were those after the turkeys kind of exited the area?
Yeah. The turkeys would kind of come and go. I believe they just kind of make a big circle in and around that area. And, the turkeys were nowhere to be seen or heard when I saw the deer. And the deer kind of, I saw those at, you know, weird times as well. I mean, 9:30, all the way from 9:30 to shoot, you know, right up to about 10:45, 10:50. Well, and in that time, yeah, the two smaller bucks that I chose to pass, a doe and a fawn, and then another doe with two fawns.
Well, Thane, we're going to let you go here real quick, but what was your impression of the rut? Is it on?
You know,
is
what?
It starting?
I can tell you. I mean, you're seeing all over social media that it's on. They're chasing, they're tending, and all that stuff. And I got to be honest, I didn't see anything. I mean, I didn't see any scrapes. I didn't see, you know, I had two bucks running together. I had does running around with fawns. And, you know, I think we're a little early. I mean, you know, the season kind of snuck up on me, and I know it did you as well, Boomer, and I think we're just a little early.
I agree.
All right. Well, there he is. I agree, Thane. Well, Thane, thanks for calling in tonight. Appreciate the opportunity for getting to hunt with you and Gummy again, and we'll talk soon, buddy.
Right on. Thanks for having
you
me, and good luck to everybody.
Yep, keep listening, my friend. I'll tell you what,
Absolutely.
Boom, you know, this is interesting because what he said, we always talk about, it's the Billy Moles theory. It's not the destination, it's the journey. Every time you're in the woods, something different happens. That was cool. That's a great experience for him. Everybody wants the big monster buck, but if you look at the whole picture, something like that is really a cool experience.
That's every one of us that never shoots a big buck says that every year.
Oh, I've had a lot of big bucks.
Just like people say money doesn't buy happiness, right? They say they don't have money. Well, I tell you what, you know, you talk about big buck country and swamp bucks. We've harvested a few of them. I think you've seen that one down in my basement, that 10-pointer that I shot a few years ago out of that Backus area. And after we harvested that doe, Sophia was so excited, and we got in, and she goes, "So, Dad, are you disappointed we didn't shoot a big buck?" And I go, "It's not the destination, it's the journey, honey. Mm-hmm. It's all about the experience of seeing a deer, you visually getting an eyeball on it and how we harvested it, getting up in the morning, you know, the fun that goes into it." And talking about it's the journey and not the destination is my dad. I've been hunting with him up on that land for 34 years.
Yep.
And, you know, as you guys know, they're not a sponsor of the show. I'm a big believer in Buck Bomb, which is just doe in heat, right? And you spray it out there and it smells like a doe brothel around your deer stand, right? It's not like that little, I don't want to say the name where they said just put a drop. I mean, this is like letting everyone know you're ready to mate. And I went to go pick up my dad after we harvested that deer, and I'm walking up and I'm about 70 yards from the ground blind. And I'm like, oh my God, there are doe and heat following me all over the place. I get up to my dad's ground blind and it just reeks like 100 does and heat had peed around him. I go, "Dad, what are you doing?" He goes, "Well, I had this old can of Buck Bomb and it malfunctioned and it's kind of all over the place." I'm like, geez, my eyes are literally watering. I can't even walk. And I'm like, "Dad, would you, whatever."
There's two bucks in your dad's tent smoking a cigarette. You know?
Just having fun. So, you know, my dad, he's getting a little less mobile in age, and we're walking back, and I'm like, "Dad, I mean, you're going to draw the biggest bucks in from the county, let alone from Wisconsin. They're going to come in from Buffalo County.
You better learn to run, Dad."
We get in the truck, and Sophia goes, "Dad, it smells like Buck Bomb in here." And my dad goes, "What?" And I'm like, "Dad, I rode down his windows for a half an hour drive to Bacchus, and you guys know my dad. We're going on the highway, and I go, "Dad, I go, you got to take your jacket off." And you guys know my dad, a stubborn old sweetie. He goes, "Oh, just take me back to the stand. I'll have a cold Snickers if that's how you're going to treat me, son."
Yeah, yeah, that's him.
We get in to the corner cafe.
You went guys to a restaurant.
We went to a restaurant a half an hour away, and literally – everyone's eyes are watering at the table. And then from behind us, I hear some guy goes, "Man, it smells like dough. Beep in here." And then another person. And then the waitress. And I'm like, "Dad, come on." He goes, "I wash my hands. What else do you want me to do if they can't toughen it up?" And so, yeah, that was the funny story of dough peeing my
people
dad.
Walking out of the restaurant, the old proprietor's getting all pissed off at your old man. That's funny. That's a great story.
He did see a couple Timberwolves.
That's right. You
said
that.
Yeah, in the ground blind. He said right towards the evening. And he said they were only 30 yards away from him, which is kind of spooky, right? Because they're the alpha of the land. To think that they didn't notice my dad. Well, probably.
Probably did, yeah.
They probably just thought it was a bunch of doe and heat, and that's why they came in trying to chase him down for some supper, huh?
So you had you guys had one or two deer?
We shot two doe, so we party hunt.
Good
that's legal
you.
In the state of Minnesota. They define it as a field. So we were next to Dad, and I had a little a doe and a yearling came in. It was a nice-sized yearling. I won't shoot the doe with the yearling because then it has less of a chance. So I took the yearling because we were meat hunting this year. And then next weekend, I think my lovely wife and I are going to go chase with her big tag to go for the monster buck.
You know, and all of the Mark and I hunted all day Saturday. Went into the cabin for a couple of hours and went back in the afternoon. But literally, and there's a lot of land up there in the northeast corner of Lake Vermilion, I would think we heard less than 20 shots the entire day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And all of those were in the morning. We heard no shots. I didn't hear any shots after 12 o'clock at noon. So, and there's a lot of land up there. And there's hunters out there. But everything was early, probably before 9 o'clock, and that was about it.
It seemed like it was way far east of us, too.
Yeah. No, that was west, but that's okay.
Yeah.
No wonder you needed
good thing I have a new app.
Yeah, yeah. You got the new app, yeah.
Big shout out to Cole and his dad, Chad, that were out hunting in Orr, Minnesota. I know they didn't get a deer, but they were out hunting father and son. But it's interesting you talk about getting lost, Drew, because we were on a group text after we harvested that doe, and I'm like, "Hey, how are you guys doing?" And it's both of you. And Mark's like, "Oh, great, you guys got a doe." And then I see like Strew writing on an iPhone. You see the dot, 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 dot. It wasn't congratulations, Boomer or Sophia. It was, "Hey, Mark, I'm lost. I'll be late to the cabin."
Yeah. No, I was supposed to meet him about 10 o'clock. I was trying to push a deer toward Mark, and I got all turned around and thinking, I know the directions, but I have no idea where the hell I am. But I'll just keep on going. But I found them eventually. Go ahead, Mark.
Strew and I deer hunting is a lot like Strew and I turkey hunting. It's like a Benny Hill short.
Yeah.
But he's running through, you know.
He's dumb. I'm dumber.
Hey, for listeners tonight, we have a call-in special. It's all about deer hunting. 450-0100. Call in, and we want to hear your deer hunting story.
And there's a 763 before the 450. Go ahead, Mark.
So I did also do a shout-out. So we have a couple shout-outs here. Justin Zeiss, he's going to be calling in a little bit later. He got the biggest buck of his life. He's going to talk about that.
I like it. BBD.
Justin's a good friend of the show. Let's see what else. Andrew Benson shot an 8-pointer on his property day one. You guys rock. Drew from Cedar. Thank you, buddy. And also Jeremy Carlson sent us a picture of a nice buck. Seems like everyone on the planet got a nice buck.
I guess so, yeah, except us.
So I wanted to thank you.
I had a harvest today.
You did?
I harvested something. It was not quite. It was a mouse, but I got an animal. I got a wild animal. Yeah, better than nothing. Go ahead, Boom.
Hey, now, we saw some scrapes up in Backus, Minnesota, and it was interesting. I was talking to a group of folks. They've listened to the show. Dave and his group from Blaine, Minnesota, they got B&D Adventures in Roasting. They do catering and stuff. They hunt on some public land, the Chippewa National Forest. And he got his tree stand all set up. And he went back to check it out. And someone had taken the ladder down. And the place you sit on, right? The seat.
Yeah.
So he wanted to chat a little bit about hunter's ethics. What would you guys do hunting public land if you come up to your spot that you are all ready to hunt opening morning and someone sitting in your tree stand?
In your tree stand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you just put up.
Of course, if the hunter's already in the tree stand,
yeah.
Even though I believe it's illegal to keep your tree stand in on state public property overnight, I believe that's the case. But if I go there and someone's already in that tree stand, in my tree stand?
What if they put it up and had to go poop and it was open for a minute?
Well, of course, you're not. Yeah, that's a whole different ball game. Everyone's got a poop. Even Mark's got a poop.
I did this year, too.
Rut wipes?
No, yep. if somebody was in my stand.
With Buck Bomb.
If somebody
okay,
was
okay, Vaughn, it's on my hands.
Let these guys hold a conversation. I'll just talk to the rest of the audience. No, if somebody's in the stand that I put up the night before, and I get out there early in the morning,
yeah.
And someone's in that stand, that would be an issue.
Yeah.
And I would do my best to convince the gentleman that that's the stand I put up, and I believe it's my right to be there.
Public lands, public land.
I understand that. I wouldn't be shooting anybody, but if this guy made a big stink out of it, I'd probably walk away because. I believe, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, it's illegal to keep a stand in the woods, public land, state land, overnight, I believe.
All right, Strew, we got to go to break. We got a deer hunting special coming up. We want to get your call in, 763-450-0100. We're celebrating the 500,000 hunters and huntresses that hunt in Minnesota for deer.
Checking in with the four outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Anglers and outdoor enthusiasts all share a common goal, staying warm, dry, and comfortable. And since you can't choose the weather, you can choose apparel that provides these benefits. Throw in the added value of style, and you have the new line of Blackfish softshell outerwear. Designed for multi-season use, the Blackfish gear lineup of softshells include jackets, bibs, and pullover hoodies. Utilizing premium fleece and state-of-the-art weatherproof fabrics, these soft shells are perfect for the spring and fall transitional fishing season. Blackfish was created by anglers for all day outside, With dependable outerwear, you can keep your mind off the weather and focus on the task at hand. So if you need all-day warmth and comfort, choose Blackfish, Drew Man, like the shirt you're wearing.
I'm wearing
because
it,
because you can't choose the weather. Blackfish Premium Soft Shells are available now at a dealer near you.
Good job.
Don't forget, November 15th is Give to the Max Day. It's Give to the Max Day when thousands of Minnesotans contribute to worthy nonprofits. Reach for Resources is an organization to consider. With a mission to support individuals with disabilities and mental illness to reach their full potential, Reach for Resources allocates an impressive 91% of funding to programming. Your dollars make a difference at Reach, and you can make a difference in the lives of others. Visit reachforresources.org on November 15th or any time to make a tax-deductible donation.
Available now, Julia Roberts comes to Prime Video in the mind-bending new series that will have everyone asking the same question. What happened at homecoming?
Why didn't you tell me I was in the hospital?
Tell you? You were there.
Critics rave. Homecoming is a throwback thriller, expertly done, directed by the creator of Mr. Robot.
Have you ever forgotten something? Something big?
Homecoming. Stream it now, only on Prime Video.
Hey, listen up. Now 11 is your new favorite number. Because at Aaron's, just $11 gets you started leasing to own until the 11. That's right. Hurry to your local Aaron's store or Aaron's.com and pick from a wide range of TVs, washers and dryers, bedrooms, and more. From the best brands like LG, Philips, and Samsung. Just $11 gets you started on your choice of furniture, electronics, and appliances from November 3rd through the 11th. At Aaron's. At participating stores, transaction advertised as a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply.
Total Country Bob FM.
Struvat's back in the Four Outdoorsmen. And I'll tell you what, we're going to be talking to John Howe in a couple of minutes. And my other couple of co-hosts here are so politically correct, it drives me crazy. John Howe, are you with us on the Four Outdoorsmen?
Hey, did Mark and Boomer, did Stru show you the picture I texted him?
He did. Yeah, that's a monster.
You know, it was so kind of my best friend from high school to sit in my deer stand this morning since I've been out campaigning and take care of that beautiful buck with those great big tines.
Yeah, hold on. Boomer,
is a monster. Look at the length.
So that was from
G4s.
Your stand. So you would have shot that baby if you weren't campaigning?
You know, we have to make a lot of sacrifice in life, but that would have been the best buck I've ever shot.
So, John, technically, since you were campaigning and working and it was your stand, can you claim that buck?
Probably.
I just told him to get it mounted and hopefully if I win the election for Secretary of State, maybe we can hang it in the office.
You know, if he was a Democrat, he could probably figure that out. He's all about being everything above board. Hey, I'll tell you what, this is going to be real quick. We're talking with John Howe, and John Howe is the Republican candidate for Secretary of State of Minnesota.
We did not know that, Stru.
Well, I do. I know that John,
your hat's only on every Facebook post he puts out for the last interview.
That's about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you got to hire this
I
man
like
next.
That. I like that. Well, you, just remember, I'm the yellow flashing left hand arrow guy.
So you got to hire Stru as your campaign manager if you run for
arrow,
president.
So you take a left hand turn at a stoplight. You're going to say, who passed that? And I say, it's not who, it's how. He's running for Secretary of State.
All right, we're done with politics right now. Let's tell us a deer story. Not the one that you just talked about, your buddy just shooting a deer on your deer stand. Have you got a great, interesting deer story? Because you've hunted for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you. It's funny because I've got a nephew named Adam. So I asked my buddy, you know, he texted me that picture. He shot that big buck out of the deer. I said, how many deer have Adam seen? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, just tie a string to Adam because the deer just run to him. He said, yeah, apparently he saw five. And I said, I don't know what it is. It, you know, some people just attract deer.
Yeah.
And my nephew, Adam, I'm not kidding you. He'll be in a deer stand and a deer will hit the tree that he's standing in. It's just crazy.
You know, John, that brings me back to hunting in Hackensack on some property we had over there. And there was a cousin, Jim. We called him Uncle Jim, and I was a kid. And I swear on my mother's grave, he would put on a certain cologne, and he would attract does with this cologne.
Yeah.
And they called it Uncle Jim's foo-foo juice. And every year, that guy would have a herd of does that would literally leave a buck in heat to go hang around Uncle Jim's foo-foo juice.
That's funny.
Bottled
well,
that
I just
himself.
I just want to know, how did the town get named Hackensack?
Yeah, you know, only in Hackensack, you know? So, any other good deer hunting stories from you, John?
Well, you know, just a lot of different various snafus, you know, where you somebody's supposed to be standing in a certain spot, and I don't know if anybody's seen a buck crawl before.
No.
But I was on stand one time and saw a set of antlers going by me, and you could not even see the buck. All you could see was the antlers.
That's amazing. Did you get the deer?
No, I did not.
You know, John, this is not politically correct, but one time I did see a buck mating a doe, and yep. I had this ethical debate, like, what should I do? I can shoot
well,
the buck.
Well, you need to move. Hopefully you moved around your angle, and you got two deer with one shot.
Well,
go.
I wasn't able to do that. I let the guy finish his business just like a turkey
was,
in mating season.
That was
season.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, that was.
We have a saline in the field. One shot, one deer. Two shot, maybe one deer. Three shots, no deer.
There you go. All right, John, we're going to wrap this up. I'll tell you what, good luck with the campaign and the election on Tuesday for Secretary of State, but I know you love the outdoors. We love the outdoors.
I tell you what, on a serious note, if you're out there hunting and you haven't voted yet, you're going to have to come back and vote on Tuesday. Yeah. Everybody should vote. Even if you're not voting for me, I want you to vote. I hope you do vote for me. You know, I believe in hunting. I believe in the Second Amendment. And, hey, I really appreciate being on the Four Outdoorsmen. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciated being in studio here recently. And you guys just keep up. It's a great show. It's a great talk about hunting and fishing. And I really appreciate it. And I certainly wish I would have got that buck this morning, but I'm glad my best friend did.
You bet. Be Good safe luck. Out there.
Be
Good
safe,
luck on
John.
Tuesday. All right, take care, John. Good to talk to you.
Hey, take care, guys.
You bet.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, what a great guy. You know, he's got a lot going on when you think about in his political career. And to join us to talk about deer hunting.
That's enough. We didn't post that deer or anything, but that is a nice big
that's
buck.
That's a nice big buck.
That's a nice big buck. And I don't know where I forget where his property is. Do you know?
I don't know exactly. I can't figure that one out.
See, if we keep befriending people like him, we may get an invitation to go hunt on this guy's property sometime.
Yeah, we could absolutely do that.
Because we don't give a rat's ass
now,
about politics.
Now, Strew. There yes, is a Eddie. Place on your property called the
Greek Stand.
The Greek Stand, right? Why is it called the Greek Stand?
I can tell you this. It's a very...
They
it's
make
a,
great euros. It's,
no. Yeah, they make great euros. So we're going to have another call in. Oh, I got 5 minutes or so. The Greek Stand, anyway, it's nothing more than a ledge that overlooks a valley.
Like, do you have the colors of Greece on it?
No. Is he on right now?
We have a call.
Is he? I don't know who you're expecting, but I do have a call. I have Jim from Faribault. He does some meat processing and stuff. Jim, if that's your phone on speakerphone, take it off, please.
Okay. Yep.
But Jim, you're on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, Jim, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen. You got it.
Can we still get you? Or, can you still hear me?
Yeah, we sure
Jim,
can.
Jim, we got you, buddy. Let's hear your deer hunting story.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, you're okay. Good.
Okay, yeah, so what I'm out by the between Montgomery and Faribault area, and that I'm a custom meat processor out here doing deer in there. We're getting a lot of people that don't even realize with the sight tags that they're not, you know, putting leg tags on right away.
Right.
I'm getting people that are bringing deer out in garbage bags. I don't people realize that not the best thing to do in garbage bag. Put them in ice cream pails. Put them into a food grade 1 gallon Ziploc bags. It might take 10, 15 of them, but at least it's a lot safer to do it in.
Hey Jim, I got a question for you. It's Boomer here. I got my doe and my dad's doe, and I have the note from my dad, which makes it legal that I'm transporting the deer to a butcher. And these type of temps that we're experiencing right now, 38 to flirting with 44 degrees, how long will that deer meat stay good till you take it to a butcher?
You know, it's really surprising. A deer, it takes, you know, if we were to do that to regular beef, it would sour and do something. But venison's got, the blood's got something to it that it'll actually keep quite well. Especially when people gut them out. What the worst is if you get the intestinal tract or any of that stuff inside of it, people need to wash that down. I know people don't, but I mean, I got people that are, when they bring them in here, hey, we just shot it, can you wash it? No, that's not really what I do.
There you go, yeah.
We've got so many of them that we're doing. The main thing you need to do is try to get, if the blood is on it, that's like a preservative on it. But if you get some intestinal or some kind of stomach matter or something in there, get that thing hung up. We've had rain last night. This temperature that it is, it's really surprising. When it's 50 degrees and below, it'll keep quite well on that quite yet. I'd still say that it should be colder, but, I mean, it's not like when we had those 60-degree days or like we had a few years ago where it's 67 degrees and the wind and all that stuff. That was just, that can be souring. But deer, with the hide on it, will keep quite well for quite a while. And I get a lot of people that open up the deer too much again. Around the pelvic area, I always tell them, just take the butt out on it and learn how to get that whole intestines out of it in that way. Because you waste so much meat because when you open the legs open like there, we got to trim all that away. And there's some people that go way into it too extreme with a knife.
Well, Jim, I can hear you because when I first gutted a deer, which would have been, a long time ago, probably 22 years ago when I first shot my first deer and started gutting it, my dad always told me, don't open the stomach, right? Because if you open the stomach, the acid gets on there and it will ruin the meat. And if that happens, we empty every water bottle in our backpack out on that part of the meat. Is that a true statement?
Yes, because the bacteria that the digestive system from the stomach and the intestinal tract is already going to start working on the meat part of it. So we, as being processors, I can't take that meat from the rib cage and that. So if you get anything inside there, you'd be surprised on how much you have to throw away on it. It's the best part of the whole animal. First of all, if you shot in the shoulder, I got a great shot in the shoulder. You just ruined 15 pounds of meat right there. The best shot is a headshot, but nobody can, get exactly a headshot. But when you hit two shoulder blades, you're breaking up a lot of bones. The best part of it is the round in order for salvaging it. So if you've got a stomach that busted, the flank meat, the skirt steak, which is around, or the skirt meat that's around the diaphragm and all that, and the ribs, you try to save all that. If we get it here and it's got that dried on blood, and it usually takes about an hour and that'll start drying on, get that washed off as easy. Take a 5-gallon container of extra water, which you just to rinse that out of there. It really saves a lot of meat for that person. I get that comment all the time. Everybody gets their own deer sausage and everything back. You got to have 30 pounds. How much am I going to get? It's usually a 45 pounds only, but if they shot it in the head and it's a bigger size doe, surprising, you're going to get a lot out of it if you took care of it the right way, because you got leaves in it. You're going to be dragging it across the field. You're pulling with a four-wheeler, Think of it as being, if it was a beef, would you do it to a beef?
That's a good point.
Thank you very much for the great tips. They're all great. Why don't you give our listeners a quick shout-out for your operation and tell them where to go.
Krennic Meat Processing out by Shields Lake or Shieldsville between Faribault and Montgomery.
Well, that's great. Well, don't be a stranger to the show. We appreciate it very much. We got another caller here, so we got to move on. But thank you for calling.
Thanks,
Jim.
All right. We're not used to this.
The phones are lighting up, you guys.
All right, bring them in. Let's go.
I got Justin on the line.
Hey.
Justin, you're on the 4 Outdoors.
This is our friend Justin Zeiss. Him and his wife and his kids go fishing just about every weekend. Apparently, he buck hunts too, and he's good at it. So, how are you doing, Justin?
Pretty good. You guys?
We're doing good, buddy. Let's hear about this big buck.
Well, we're up in between Gray Eagle and Swanville.
And where the hell is Gray Eagle and
where's
Swanville?
Gray Eagle and Swanville?
Gray Eagle and Swanville, right in between there, up by Big Birch Lake-ish.
There we go.
Sitting in my stands, just kind of dinking around. Saw a couple of deer earlier in the morning, a little too early to shoot, so we're just hanging out. Taking some pictures, I was going to send to the wife and kids. All of a sudden, I look up after I took my pictures of the trail. There's a doe. All right, cool. So I grunted once. She looked at me, turned, kept going. She looked behind her again. I'm like, uh-oh. That buck come down the trail, charging at me. Turned about 30 yards broadside at me and drilled him. He ended up running about 30 yards laying down. And not 5 minutes after, I had a piebald run around my stand for 15 minutes after I'd shot that deer.
Oh, my goodness. Justin, that reminds me, after the second doe we got, we actually had a couple bald eagles coming around us. And I literally, Sophia was freaking out, Justin, going like, Dad, just get the thing gutted. And I was literally jogging with this deer as I was dragging it back to camp because my daughter had a lash on me just freaking out about these two bald eagles that wanted our deer.
Hey, Justin, thanks for being a fan of the 4 Outdoorsmen. You support us. We support you. One of the things you just brought up, by the way, I shared the picture of the deer you got with the boys, and it's a beauty. It's a beauty. Good for you. What a thrill. You said
Thank
you grunted that deer in. I've never grunted. Do you rattle as well, or you just grunt?
I used to rattle a lot, but now I just, all I do is grunt. I'll start, I get my stand pretty early. I'll get out there 5:30, and just so the woods get a chance to calm down, I'll start running. And I had action all morning. I mean, until it got light, there was crashing all around.
Well, I tell you, that's I think that'd be even more fun than just hanging around if you can call them in like you're a turkey hunter. That's really
great. Justin, is that the first time when you've grunted, you've seen a buck just dead eye right towards you?
Oh, and he left the doe. That was the more surprising part. I mean, I've seen them. They turned and looked, but usually they kind of stay on the outskirts. This one, he come charging in, and I called him off the doe.
That's amazing. I mean, that I'm looking at the photo of this buck. What was going through your mind? I mean, it's a beautiful deer. What was going through your mind as it was coming towards you? I mean, did you shiver? Was your heart pounding, or what was going on?
Oh yeah, I was shaking like a leaf. I shot, and we got a group text going with my cousins, and I couldn't type. I was like, guys, I got a big one. They're just laughing. They keep texting me back. I was like, I'm shaking like a leaf. I can't type right now.
Did he drop right away, Justin?
Yes, sir.
He dropped right away. I remember the biggest buck I shot up in Bacchus. I shot him, and he was so wide that the bullet didn't go through him.